for who He is. Heavenly Father, tonight we lift our hands unto You. Lord Jesus, there is none like unto You. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are our Savior. Lord Jesus, we honor You tonight. Lord, we place supreme importance and significance upon who You are and what You have done. You are the Son of God who willingly gave His life for us on the cross of Calvary and arose from the grave so that we could have eternal life. Lord Jesus, we look for Your imminent return. We're looking, Lord, and expecting any day now to meet You in the air. We praise You and give You glory tonight, our Savior and King. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated as our ushers come. We'll prepare to receive tonight's tithes and offerings. And as always, thank you so much for your faithfulness. We appreciate it so very, very much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You so much for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit that we feel in this sanctuary tonight. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to give back unto Your kingdom. Lord, we thank You for the way that You provide and take care of all of us, Lord. We ask Your blessing on this offering now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be dismissed to go to your class now, and the rest of us, you would turn to Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to pick up tonight our study proper in verse 18, but I'm going to go ahead and begin reading at verse 12. Just do a quick review of where we were. That's Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. And as you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before You, and Lord Jesus, we know the time is so very, very short. Lord, we know that we're children of the last days. That, Lord, any moment these events that we're studying in Daniel, Lord, could occur. And, Lord, the historical stage has already been set for them to occur and is being set at this very moment in time. Lord, encourage us tonight by allowing us the prophetic insight to see what Your Word is telling us, to see how many thousands of years ago these events were predicted. Some have come to pass, some are yet to be. But, Lord, the accuracy of Your Word cannot be denied. Lord, and that should be a blessing to us, to let us know that every promise is true. That, like the old song says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, washed in His Spirit and cleansed by His blood. We praise You tonight, Lord Jesus. Glory to Your name. Touch this service now and anoint me to preach and teach Your Word, and I'll give You all the praise and honor and glory for it. Amen and amen. Okay, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Let's read it. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel. And something I need to bring out that I failed to put enough emphasis on last week is the ministry of angels. That's something we don't always think or talk about. But angels, the word literally means in both the Hebrew and even in the Greek text, a messenger. a messenger. And there are two angels in particular throughout the Word of God that are mentioned as having very special positions as God's messengers. And these two are the angels we'll be talking about tonight, Gabriel and Michael. And it seems that God has used these two angels for very, very specific purposes. You remember it was the angel Gabriel that announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So very, very important, the ministry of angels. And just out of curiosity, just as kind of an icebreaker tonight, the Bible says that some have entertained angels unaware. Has anybody ever thought or want to share an experience they had where they thought they encountered an angel? Because it does happen. I know it happens. Anybody got anything they want to share? Shannon. Mike, can you get a mic over to her? Just a second, Shannon. Here, let me give you one of these, buddy. Those of you that are on tape, bear with us. To the multiplied millions listening via radio, that's the blue one. You want it? Okay. I'll get it. Well, okay. I needed the exercise a lot more than Michelle did.
Well, I'll just try to do the shortened version. I don't want to take up any time.
No, you're fine. I asked the question for a specific reason, so feel free.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, it was a number of years ago, actually. Shelby was a baby. And it was in the wintertime, and I was going to my parents' house at the time, and there was this house that we were looking to buy. And I was very excited about this house. And right by this house, there was an old man walking in the rain with a gas can. And now, normally I would never, ever do this. But he caught my attention so hard, I was like, let's pick him up. And at the time, Ryan was like, no way. You know, I have a baby in the car. You're crazy. You've lost your mind. And I said, no. And he kept driving. And I got angry. And I was like, pick him up. And he said, I'm not picking him up. I've got family in the car. There's no way. He was not dressed very well, and he was drenched. He's like, he's crazy to be in the rain like this. And so anyways, regardless, I was throwing such a hissy. He turned around and said, if we all die, it's your fault. And so I said, now I'm just impressed to really get with this man. So anyways, we picked him up. He got in the car. Just an immediate calm hit the entire car. I had crawled in the back seat with Shelby. And he just started talking, and he said, do you guys love the Lord? And we said, yes, you know. And we were just kind of talking, and he said, why did you pick me up? And I said, I don't know. I just had such a heart for you. I just had to pick you up, and I don't know what's going to happen. So anyways, we go in, we get him gas. He said he needed gas for this car, and he said he lived in the house that I wanted. And he said, do not buy that house. He said, absolutely do not buy that house. And I was like, okay, how did you even know that we wanted that house, first of all, because I didn't say that.
Wow.
And so we went and got gas. Well, I didn't think of it till later. There was no car in the driveway, and there was no garage, so there was no car to hide. You know, there wasn't a car to hide. But anyways, he told me, when he was getting out of the car, God has his hand on you, and life is going to get very difficult, but never waver. And the next day, we were going out to my parents again. There was no sign of anybody living in that house. The house was completely vacant. And I just happened to believe that that was an angel that had a word at that moment in time in my life.
That's amazing. I bear witness with that, Shannon. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else got a story you want to share with us about? And don't think you're crazy. You know, people might think, oh, I don't know about this angel thing. Some don't. But the Bible says some have entertained angels unaware. That means the angel didn't appear to us like Gabriel did to Daniel here and say, I'm come to tell you something. The Bible says unawares. And anybody else got a story they want to share real quick before we move on about where you think you had an encounter possibly with an angel? Okay, the reason, you know, it says unawares is for that reason. The angel did not identify himself as an angel, but yet he was entertained. And the word entertained in Greek literally means you assisted them. And perhaps almost always whenever God has sent an angel, there's been a message attached to it. And that's, Saint Shannon beautifully brought out, again, an angel is a messenger of the Lord. And there are angels even that minister on behalf of us as believers. Did you know that? So this ministry of angels is a very powerful and important thing. Not that angels take the place of the Holy Spirit, but they are messengers that God sends forth. I remember back in the 1980s when Brother Swaggart's ministry was all over the globe, even much more so than it is right now. And he shared a story about how they'd been praying about this one particular TV transmission station that they were trying to get. And due to the legalities involved some way, they knocked them out of it, it seemed. And he went to prayer about it because they really needed a transmitter station to reach this particular area of the world they were trying to get into. And it escapes me now what area it was, but that's not that important anyway. But anyway, he said he went to prayer. And God spoke to his heart and he said, "You command the angels." And he said, "I'll put one." He said, "I've already put one over every TV station and radio station you own right now to guard it that's broadcasting this gospel." And he said, "You believe me to give you this transmitter." And he said, "I'll give you that." And he said, "I'll put a band of angels around to protect it." Because I believe, if I recall correctly, it was in some country where they were having a lot of upheaval, war, terrorist activity, something to that effect. And they were concerned that if they did get it, that it could be destroyed. In any event, within a few short weeks' time, they had it. And even though there was tumultuous, I wish I could remember the details of the situation, even though there was tumultuous events going on all around the station, it remained, and I believe it still does, remain a part of their ministry and is broadcasting the gospel yet to this day. So angels do have a ministry, and we need to remember that sometimes as believers, because we don't hear that a lot, do we? We're not often thinking about the ministry of angels, but they're there, and they're God's servants and God's messengers. So all that having been said, now let's pick up in verse 12. As Gabriel has come to give Daniel a message. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words." In other words, Gabriel was sent as a messenger in answer to Daniel's prayer. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And hopefully you'll remember, it's very important. Verse 13 gives us a glimpse into the spirit world of how planet Earth rulers are set up and put down. It always happens in the spirit realm first. And when the word tells us that the prince of the kingdom of Persia, that's not speaking of the physical man, king of Persia, that was the spirit, the demon spirit, that was behind and assisting the ruler of Persia. And that we brought out, hopefully you'll remember how that still happens today. Leaders today in the world are assisted by demon spirits. Now, I need to balance that out before anybody would think, well, isn't God in control? Absolutely. But God allows at times these demon spirits to exert their influence, because nothing happens that God doesn't cause or allow on this planet. You need to know that. But to fulfill God's purposes and to set his plan in order, at times he will allow demon spirits certain latitude to act. And to the best illustration I can give you of that is going to be when the Antichrist comes to power. This same spirit that was behind the prince of Persia, and we're going to read in a few moments, the prince of Grecia, speaking of demon spirits, they're going to converge together to assist the Antichrist when he makes his play for world domination. And we brought out last week, I hope I don't anger anybody with this, I personally believe that Barack Obama was assisted to get in the White House by demon spirits. And you say, whoa, Pastor, well, that's a little bit heavy, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. But how does a man who's little more than a Red Cross worker in a community rise to the most powerful position in the land in the space of about 5 years? And he really had no qualifications. He even though they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize, he's not done anything great. Boy, don't you wish they paid you your work like that and gave out awards like that for work for stuff you might do one day? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Especially million-dollar prizes. But in any event, I believe that's a prime example. And I believe he's been put in place. Obviously, he has been, no doubt, to set God's plan along in these last days, and I believe he's assisting now in setting things in motion for the Antichrist. So, you know, verse 13 and 14 are very important because they're short, but I don't want to jump over them because we're given a glimpse into the spirit world here by the Word of God that shows us how demon spirits at times do operate and assist leaders of this world. Of course, it's all under God's control, but God does allow it to happen at some times. Now, is there any questions or comments on that? Have I confused anybody? Because I don't want to leave you with the idea that, well, we're taking anything away from the sovereignty of God. I need to stress that. This only happens when God allows it. But at times, what this verse teaches us is that God, for his purposes, to work his plan, does allow certain evil rulers to come to power. No doubt demon spirits were behind the rise of Adolf Hitler, just as they were behind the rise of the Persian Empire. Demon spirits. No doubt they were behind Alexander the Great. He conquered the known world to this day faster than any other human has ever done it. It's because he was assisted by demon spirits in doing so. Okay, let's go on. Verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And of course, he's speaking specifically of Israel as a nation when he tells Daniel thy people. Verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Now here there's a quick change, but also it appears from Scripture, Jesus Christ himself in pre-incarnate form makes an appearance here alongside the angel Gabriel. Now let's go on to verse 17. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Now that had to be angels, I don't believe, have that ability to impart spiritual strength. I believe they can assist in the spirit realm, and they can be messengers of God, but power and strength can only come from Jesus Christ. So obviously what you got going on here, you have a messenger angel, and you have an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's pick up in verse 19. And before we read that, I need to go back and again hone in on Daniel's humility. And that look at what the appearance of the Lord had on Daniel. He fell on his face before him. All the strength was gone out of him. And I want to bring it out again because you say, why would you take the time to repeat this, Pastor? I've got a specific reason for doing so. Jesus said in the last days that many would arise saying, I am Christ. He said, don't believe him. We're in that last days. And there's people claiming indirectly to be Christ. There's a lot of people in the evangelical church world that are claiming all these esoteric, strange spiritual experiences with the Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you can tell real quick if it's a demon spirit or it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it's an appearance of Jesus Christ, it'll have the same effect on an individual as it had on Daniel. One of total humility. A sense of overwhelming unworthiness. Because that individual is in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I shared with you how Jesse Duplantis, about 2 years back, ran a TV series where he was claiming that him and Jesus played in the river of life with one another and splashed water on one another. And even went so far, I wrote him a letter about it, and he never responded. His daughter did, and I wrote her back, and then she never responded. This was when we were at another, just before we left another church. But he even went so far as saying that one day he was in his study, and the Lord appeared to him. He said, oh, me and the Lord, we talk all the time, in literal appearances. And he said, I could tell the Lord just wasn't acting right that day. Now, I'm quoting verbatim the man. He said, I could tell the Lord just wasn't acting right. And he said, I asked the Lord, what's wrong? Now think of this. Think of this for just a minute, what I'm about to say. He said the Lord came over to him and said, Jesse, I'm having a bad day today. Now think of that. I mean, it is laughable, but and I believe the man saw what he said he saw. But was it Jesus Christ? No, he's in touch with a demon spirit. He's in touch with a demon spirit. So the effect throughout Scripture has always been when the Lord made an appearance, whether in pre-incarnate form or in when he walked the earth in post, or when he appeared at post-resurrection, when he walked the earth, people could touch him because he took on the form of man. But in his post-resurrection form and pre-incarnate form, every time he made an appearance, people had no choice but to fall at his feet and humble themselves like Daniel did. So in this last day that we're living, don't be real quick, and I feel strongly the Holy Spirit in this. Don't be quick to believe anybody who tells you that they've seen an appearance of Christ. Okay? Because he lives within our hearts. I'll be honest with you. You hear some folks say, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if he'd walk through this door? I wouldn't want him to. Not right now, anyway. I mean, yeah, we think, now let me put in context what I'm saying. Yes, I want to see Jesus. I'm looking forward to that day I get a glorified body and I get to go up there and be with him in heaven. But we'd be also scared to death if he walked through that door right now that we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. We'd be just like Daniel. Oh, God. Now, if he came, it'd be for a specific purpose and he'd tell us something. I'm here to tell you. It wouldn't be this sappy, syrupy, sweet experience that we might think it would be. Because the effect it's always had has been an overwhelming sense of humility and an overwhelming sense of unworthiness. When the great prophet Isaiah, when he appeared to him, what's the first thing that happened? Isaiah says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. He fell on his face trembling. So don't be so quick to believe these jokers who are going to be continuing. It's going to increase. Who are going to be spitting out all these stories about Christ appearing to them. Okay? More than likely, it just ain't true. It just ain't true. Because when they tell the story, it usually winds up glorifying them. Now think about that. Jesus coming to a televangelist to tell him he's having a bad day. How does the Lord Jesus Christ in the portals of glory have a bad day? I want somebody to tell me that. And if it were possible for him to, I seriously doubt he would appear to a televangelist to ask his help in it. So let's get off of that. You've got the point. Okay, now let's pick up at verse 18 now. We'll start our study here. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now, if you follow the progression here, again, you've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ standing in close proximity and the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel to deliver this message. So don't confuse the two. But in verse 20, this is Gabriel speaking again now. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the caves at Qumran in 1948, I believe it was, they found large portions almost in the entirety of the Old Testament in that cave. And they could date those manuscripts back to the exact time that these prophets wrote. Hence, people have tried to say that this book of Daniel was written hundreds of years after certain events occurred because of the accuracy of the book. Why? What we just read proves it. The next great world power after Persia was Greece under Alexander the Great. But the historical documents prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this scripture was written approximately 200 to 300 years before Alexander the Great came to power. But do you see what's going on again? We're getting another glimpse into the spirit world of how the Prince of Grecia was put down by God. It's God who rises kingdoms up and puts kingdoms down. And it's more clearly shown forth here in this scripture. And he's going to allow the Prince of Grecia, and again, there's another spirit behind that kingdom rising up, a demon spirit, certainly not the Holy Spirit. And Alexander the Great conquered the known world and destroyed this Persian Empire with lightning speed. You might recall earlier in this book of Daniel when we were studying, and you had the leopard. Remember? The king, the leopard with the four wings on it, symbolizing the kingdom of Alexander the Great. The leopard being swiftness, a ferocious beast that was very swift, and the four wings on it being the four generals who sat right under Alexander the Great. So again, you take time, you know this, and you might ask, well, Pastor, that's good to know, but it don't really bless me. Well, it won't unless you put it in proper context. Because if the Word of God is that accurate on an issue like this, how accurate is it on everything else it says? How saved we are, praise God. How much of the Holy Spirit we have. How much are all the promises of God that are in this book belong to you and I, hallelujah. How sure we can be that soon and very soon there's going to be a trump sound and this church is going to go to meet Jesus in the air. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. To some, they may say, that's pie in the sky preaching, Pastor. That's way out there, far-fetched. No, it isn't. It's the word of Almighty God. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. Hallelujah. Praise God, what a promise. That promise is true. And just because this promise is true, as every prediction in the Bible is true. Hallelujah. That's why we take the time to study prophecy, because the study of prophecy, if it's done correctly, shouldn't scare anybody. It should build your faith. I remember years ago when any preacher, when I was a little kid growing up in church, especially if they said they were going to preach from Revelation, I got scared to death. I did. My grandmother, who lived with us until the time I was about 8 or 9 years old, she loved me to pieces, spoiled me to death, my grandmother did. I mean, Grandma Browning, I knew whatever I wanted, I could get out of her and Grandpa Browning. I had them. But they loved God, her and my grandpa did. And when I was in those younger years of my life, like 9, 10, 11, in that age range, I was just starting to really learn, you know, about sin and to really know when you'd done something wrong, you know. And being raised in church, I knew to put my faith in Jesus and everything. But still yet, being a young kid, and it was about a stretch for about 6 months, I pestered my poor grandma to death every night at going to bed. Because I'd lay there for about at least an hour every night. And I'd be thinking, I'd be worried the rapture was going to happen and I was going to miss it. And I'd holler over at her, Mom. I called her Mom because that's just what our whole family called her. I always called my real mother, Mother. But I called my grandma, Mom. I said, Mom, yeah, you awake? Yeah. This would go on for, because I knew as long as she was still there, the rapture hadn't happened and I was all right. Now that's something. As I look back on it now as a young, you know, as a young kid, I knew my grandma loved God. And I thought, Lord, I'd like to live that kind of life where if people, I still pray that when people look at me, they'll say, well, the rapture couldn't happen yet. Greg's still here, you know. Praise God. But I bless that woman's heart. This went on for about 6 months. And finally, one night she set me down, and I'll never forget it. She said, you're killing me. She said, I've got to get some rest. And my grandpa, who I've shared with you before, was probably, outside of Brother Swaggart, the greatest spiritual influence on my life. Preachers would call him all the time. He would read the Bible, and he had such huge portions of it memorized. It was phenomenal. And she says, we're going to sit down now. She said, John L., that was his name, John L. Brown. She said, John L., come in here. She said, teach this boy about the rapture of the church and let him know that as long as he's placed his faith in the blood of Christ, he's going to go. And Grandpa set me down and took me through the Bible. He didn't open it very much. He had most of it memorized. And he said, now you don't have to worry. And he said, when you go to bed tonight, he said, you just thank the Lord that Jesus' grace and mercy has you covered. And if he comes, you're going to go. And from that point in time on, I never bothered Grandma anymore. It gave me an assurance that at that point in my life anyway, for the next few years, that I don't have to wake Grandma up every 5 minutes knowing that, hey, I don't know what I'd have done if she'd ever got up for a drink or something. I'd have been scared, but Lord help me how to get off on all that. But the point is, these verses tell us. That's why we study Bible prophecy. It proves the Word of God. It proves the veracity of the Word of God and how every prediction it's ever made, even in the minutest detail, has never failed. Let's close up here on chapter 10. We'll be done for the night. Verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So Michael, it appears the angel Michael was privy to these end time events also, and going to deliver them to Daniel. And I want to, that's a good stopping point right there, because chapter 11, the next probably 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be in chapter 11, gets into some very, very specific fulfilled Bible prophecy. Even in chapter 11, it is so specific that it even names Cleopatra. That's how specific you're going to see in the Word of God that chapter 11 is. Chapter 11 of Daniel is one of the most specific chapters, and all of, by and large, except for about from verse 26 on, all of it's been fulfilled. All of it can be verified by history, that these events happened and were predicted, in some cases, 300 or 400 years before they occurred. So that's why I don't want to go ahead and jump into chapter 11. We'll just leave off there. But any questions or comments? I pray you haven't been confused by this issue of demon spirits assisting kingdoms of this world and rulers of this world, helping them to achieve positions of power. Because clearly, according to Daniel chapter 10, it does happen a lot more frequently than we realize. Any questions, comments on anything? Okay, let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the promises that we know are ours in you. Lord, I just feel a peace over this sanctuary tonight. I don't know what people might have gone through today, but Lord, your Holy Spirit and your word comfort us. Lord, we thank you that you left us with this beautiful, beautiful compilation of your message to us. And you've shown us how much you can be trusted. We praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Lord, keep us prepared. Keep our faith. That's what prepares us. Keep our faith anchored exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. For Lord, then, no matter how weak and stumbling we may be in our flesh, glory to God, we're perfected in you, Lord Jesus. And that's what makes us fit to go in the rapture of the church. We praise you, Lord, and we look forward to your soon return. Go with us now until we meet again this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.